Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Do you want to just turn to Jeremiah 51? This morning and this evening are linked together. They're like two halves of one meeting that we're going to have together. And the guys in Crawley are going to join us this evening. But these last 10 days that we've been through are very significant in terms of the prayer and the fasting and what God has been doing. The theme through the 10 days that God has been speaking to us but working in our lives is simply this: lose your soul and live in the power of my Spirit. And as we heard, it's a lot easier to say it than do it. But God is working a process in us where we really become that people of the Spirit that He's called us to be. Now, it's really important that we understand that, because what God's been doing in these last 10 days is not finished. It's a process that He has started. We want to continue in that as a church over these coming weeks and months, because that is fundamental to what God wants to do, primarily in our region, as we take responsibility for that in these coming years, and how that then impacts the wider Kingdom Faith family in this nation, around Europe, and what that means in terms of our part that we're playing as Kingdom Faith in God's purposes for this nation. And so we need to understand that the 10 days of prayer and fasting, or things that we do as a church, are not just to fill in time. They're not just to put something in the diary or in the schedule that are a good idea for a bit to chivvy us up for a little while so that there's something going on. What's next? There isn't a what's next, as in, right, we're going to do this or that. It's part of the whole process that God is taking us through, that we haven't finished, but He's birthed something in us. And increasingly, everything that we do in our lives, not just as a church, but in our lives, we want that it must be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whatever context or environment that we're in, that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, that overflowing life is really what we're living. And now, I don't want to talk about that this morning as such, but what we're going to look at in Jeremiah 51, I believe, is a word that God gave me about 5 or 6 weeks ago for this year. And just want to kind of bring out some things from it. But this life that God has been working in us in a fresh way, the life of His Spirit, but that we have lost our souls, or that process of losing our souls in that sense, in terms of the reality of working that out, is it intrinsically linked in what we're going to say this morning? Because we can't be the people that we're going to talk about in these verses unless we are a people of the Spirit, because of the scale of what God wants to do. Now, just remember the verse I kind of read out while we were praying, Romans 4, verse 17, where Abraham receives the promises of God. And in that verse, it says, God calls the things that are not as though they were. Now, that's what God does all the time. There are things that He's spoken that we don't see the evidence of, but He speaks them so that they become a reality. Now, that is a people of faith. A people of faith have heard God, have received something, and what they then speak, what they then live for, is the things that are not as though they were. So a people of faith hear something, believe it, respond to it, then they begin to see it, as they take action around what God has said. So that is essential for us as we move forward, because God's laying before us some big plans and some big things that at this moment are not in the natural, but they are in the Spirit. And so faith enables us to not live by the natural, but to move in the Spirit, so that those things that God speaks that are not become a reality and we see them take place. Amen? Let's have a look at Jeremiah 51, verse 11. Sharpen the arrows, take up the shields. Now, we're just going to go bit by bit through this, okay? Sharpen the arrows, take up the shields. Now, there's been a prophetic word spoken a number of times over Kingdom Faith over the years, and particularly over Pastor Colin. The prophetic word over Pastor Colin at several times over the years has been that you are the tip of the arrow, the point of the arrow. And as Kingdom Faith, that we are an arrow. We're a point of the arrow, a shaft and the plumes. We are an arrow as Kingdom Faith. And that's been spoken prophetically a number of times over the years by other people coming in to our context. And that's what they brought from God as they've been praying and preparing for being amongst us over the years. What God has been doing over these last 10 days is sharpening that tip, sharpening the point, sharpening the arrow. He's been dealing with the things in our lives that blunt the effectiveness of who he is in and through us. So he's been sharpening. And, you know, if a point is rough around the edges and it's got bits sticking out of it, if it's not smooth, if it's not sharp, it won't pierce through the air in a clean way that it needs to. If there's bits sticking out of it, rough edges, the air is not going to flow smoothly over the tip. And then even the shaft is going to be moving around if the tip is moving around. And so if we're going to fly, if you like, if we're going to move effectively or more effectively in where God's taking us, then God does a refining work, a reviving work to sharpen our lives. And what does that mean? He deals with the things that are not of him, and he sharpens us up in the things of him, who he is in our lives, so that we become sharper, honed, if you like, cleansed, purified. Now, we are that in our position, but we've got to live that out in the reality of the experience of our everyday lives. And so that's the work that God has been doing and he's going to continue to do. And sometimes that's not comfortable. And you might say sometimes, well, compared to the world, man, aren't we doing all right? But we don't compare ourselves to the world. We want to live in line with who God is. And as God works, he graces us to respond to what his spirit wants to do. So sometimes when God speaks and says, I want to sharpen, I want to revive, I want to refine you as a people, that he graces us to respond to what he does. It's only difficult when we don't respond. Because when we react, there's no grace for reaction. But when we respond to God, there's a grace to enable that work to take place in us. So God is sharpening that arrow. He hasn't finished. He's sharpening that arrow. And that includes the shaft of that arrow so that it flies straight and true. And works in our lives with the plumes and the whole arrow, so that we, as God is firing us, it's not just that it flies straight and true in the air, it's also so that it pierces and breaks through everything that God has purposed that he wants to do. A blunt arrow is just going to hit something and fall to the floor. But a sharp arrow that has been prepared is going to pierce right through. Then the shaft is going to go through. Everything's going to go through and break through and into the next kind of areas of what God wants to do. Breakthroughs in people's lives. We'll see the relevance of this in a minute. Then it says, take up the shields. Now, we know that we have a shield of faith. And the shield of faith, it says, quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. Every dart that the enemy fires is a fiery dart. It's septic. It has poison in it. That every dart is to steal, kill and destroy. It's to bring down. It's to infect. It's to cause problems and hassles. And so the enemy fires darts like that. And the shield of faith, as it says here, take up the shields. Being that people of faith is going to be essential to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Whenever God's people begin to rise and begin to move with him in a fresh way, the enemy also rises to come against those people, to hinder what God wants to do. God will work through a people, but the enemy also works through people. Now, we know the enemy can attack directly, and there are spirits that are at work all the time that want to bring us down, pull us down, come against us and all that kind of stuff. But he also works through people, and we've got to have our shields of faith up spiritually in terms of against attacks of the enemy, but also our shields in place for people that the enemy might want to send in different ways to try and add some fiery darts on in another way. But also, when you see the shield of faith, it's also how we move together as a people in what God's doing and going to be doing. Many of you probably know about the Roman army. They would have these shields, and they would have this formation called the tortoise. And they wouldn't just stand with their shields in front and go in that way. They would also create this shell around the whole army or whoever was there at that particular time. And everybody that was involved in that army would be protected and shielded by these shields. They all interlocked and connected together. So it was like an impenetrable kind of armor. They could even lie on the floor and everybody walk over them, and they'd get up at the end after and continue onwards. I mean, it was amazing piece of kit that they designed and put together. Well, also, that's what this means here. Take up the shields. It's not just for you and me to take up our personal shields, but it's us to take up the shield of faith together, that we're interlocked together, we're connected together, and we're moving like that army that is impenetrable by the enemy because of the unity of the Spirit and what God is doing amongst those people. Now, Pastor Paul Taylor had a picture of this the other day, saying that he saw this shell-like kind of thing on the ground. And as he looked at it, he thought it was a tortoise, but and in terms of the armoury and the way it looked. But as he watched it, he said this thing began to rise. And as it began to rise, he realised there were feet and legs under there, and it was people. And as he watched this vision, he said, this is the church. This is my church. He said, I've armoured them, I've prepared them, and now they're beginning to rise, ready. And now, and as he watched it, he said, that whole army began to move forward. And there was an authority about it. There was a power about it. It was like they were going in the name of the Lord. There was something that was unstoppable, unshakable about this movement and what was moving forward to take ground. And every time, as it moved forward, it just broke through, and it broke through enemy lines. It took ground. It began to possess. It began to gain victories and everything. Now, that's what this is about. That's what God's doing. What is God doing during these 10 days? It's not just to give us a good time. Was the meeting exciting? Did it tickle me? Was it great? You know, it's God working amongst these people, because God has some massive things that he wants to do out in society to transform lives and households, communities, for us, this whole region, in terms of our responsibility as a church. Are you with me? Okay, then it says here, we've got to go through this, otherwise be here till tonight with this one. Unless you want to stay all day till tonight, do you? You brought your packed lunch. Anybody got a couple of loaves and a few fish? A few loaves and a few fish, and we'll maybe stay here all day. Sharpen the arrows, take up the shields. It's time to rise as a people of God. The Lord has stirred up the kings of the Medes because his purpose is to destroy Babylon, or to destroy his enemies. The Lord has stirred up the kings of the Medes. Now you might say, what I'm going to say is that's us, the people of God. Now you might say, man, aren't the Israelites the people of God? When you read through these verses, God mobilized all kinds of people to work together to overcome the Philistines and to overcome overcome the Babylonians. It was like the Babylonians were God's enemy, or what represented the anti-God kingdom on earth. But God gathered nations together to come against what was anti-God, if you like. But the kings of the Medes, it's like God saying, this is you, this is us. And God's saying, I'm stirring you. I'm stirring you in these days because my purpose is to destroy the works of the enemy. I believe God's going to put something in our spirit as the day goes on, this morning and tonight, that it's, if we can use this phrase, it's time to go to war, but not in the natural, because we cannot accomplish anything that we're talking about today, this morning and tonight, in the natural. It's got to be in the spirit. But it's God that gives the victory, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against every ruler, every authority, and every power in this dark world, and against the principalities and powers of this age. So it's got to be in the spirit, but God is raising a people of the spirit. So the Lord has stirred up the kings of the Medes because his purpose is to destroy Babylon. God is absolutely fed up with the work of the enemy in people's lives. People in this town, people in Crawley, people in Worthing, people in Burgess Hill, people in Guildford, people in East Grinstead, people in Leatherhead, people in Brighton, people in Croydon, no matter where they are, there are people, lives that are being ruined, that are being absolutely controlled by the enemy. And God is saying, I'm doing a work in my church because I want to rout the enemy. I want to absolutely ruin the work of the enemy in people's lives. And God is stirring us as his people, as his church. And he wants to reveal more of his heart as to how he sees things, how he feels about people's lives. So that our hearts are broken on one level in the way that his is, but at the same time, we move from that brokenness. And that's some of what losing your soul is. It's a work of brokenness, a work of breaking that goes on in our lives so that we lose our own lives and we live in this, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then it says in the last part of verse 11, the Lord will take vengeance for his temple. God is jealous for his own name. God is jealous for his name. Now, we're talking about Old Testament in terms of the temple, in terms of the place that people would go, and the temple had been ruined and destroyed and everything. And he was jealous for his name, for his presence to be reestablished in that way. Now, we don't have a building that his presence is housed in. It's our lives. And it's also other people's lives that God wants their lives to become temples of his Holy Spirit, temples of his presence. And so God is going to have vengeance on the enemy. He's going to deal with the enemy, but he's going to do that and work through a people that have been sharpened like arrows, that are taken up their shields, that have been stirred like the kings of Medes, are going to join him in what he wants to do, to see him overthrow the enemy, rout the enemy, dispossess people's lives of the strongholds and the power of the enemy, to see people set free, healed and destroyed. Okay, there's either no anointing whatsoever on this message this morning, or this is not hitting home. One of the things God said to me the other day when I was praying, I was just writing a whole lot of things down. He said to me, Clive, one of the things that people are going to increasingly say about Kingdom Faith is that you ask too much of people. And it was like, right. And he said one or two people, other people might leave because you ask too much. And he said, just remember that you're not asking too much. You're just asking of what I'm asking. And you're just putting out before people what I'm telling you to put out to my people, not just us lot, but and whoever wants to go with me will come with me in that respect. And so where we're going it is tough on the flesh. Where we're going is challenging to the soul. And this is why God is working amongst us. If we're losing, if we've lost our soul, or we're losing it, or we're allowing God to work that process in us, then it's a lot easier to respond to what God's saying. You see, the degree, the nature, the scale of what God is talking about in terms of what he is purposing to do, man, we have to move in the power of the Holy Spirit to see this happen. We do not have any ability, power in ourselves to see the things that people need to be set free of unless it happens in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in order for that to happen, then we must be moving and being a people of the Holy Spirit. Any experience will not set people free. However you prayed for somebody last time will not work this time, because God might say, I'm going to do it this way. That prayer won't work for this one. And so we're not talking about any experience or how good we are at this or that or the other. Any experience is absolutely rubbish if it's not submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit and how he wants to do something in and through our lives. So the Lord will take vengeance on his temple. I tell you, God is a God of mercy and God is a God of grace. But I tell you, God is cheesed off. God is angry. God is a God of anger. Read through the Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. God is angry with what he sees happening in people's lives. Because of his mercy, he doesn't release judgment. He knows that what's happening in people's lives is because of the enemy. And because they know, they don't know anything else, people are living completely separated from God, doing whatever they're doing. But what is God saying? He's not taking vengeance on people. He's saying, I'm going to take vengeance on Babylon. That represents the enemy. And it's the enemy that's going to be routed and destroyed in people's lives. Then what does it say? Lift up a banner against the walls of Babylon. What does that mean? The word banner there actually means it's a signal, but it's also giving notice. So what does that mean? It means lift up a banner. It says give notice to the enemy. I love that. That's brilliant. It says give notice to the enemy. And what's God saying? Devil, it's time now. It's time for something different to take place in Horsham, in Crawley, in all the other towns where we live. I'm giving notice to you. That's what the God's saying. I'm giving notice to the works of the enemy where you've been ruining lives, wrecking lives. I'm giving notice now. And I'm working in a people that are ready to rise up with me, to move with me, to see at a level that we haven't seen for many, 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 many years. The enemy routed, not just here and there, but in that town, that community, that village, that area, that region. I believe God is stirring the church all over the nation. But let's get to grips with what God wants to do and us take responsibility for our own area, our back garden, right here in these days and in this time. So there's a signal. Lift up a signal. Give notice to the walls of Babylon. So that's like saying to the enemy, hey, we're on our way, we're coming. Now, it's not we're coming in our own strength, but God is saying, I'm coming, I'm going to deal with you. But I'm going to deal with you and use a people in the process. Then what does it say? Reinforce the guard. It's going to take a lot of us. A lot more than is in this room. A lot more than that are gathering in Crawley at this moment as well. It's going to take a lot more of us across this whole region to see what God wants to say. But he's saying reinforce the guard. What is he saying? A number of things here. Firstly, it's a call to arms. God's saying it's time to come out of the barracks and it's time to come off of the, what do you call it when everybody lines up? The parade ground. It's time to come right out onto the front line now. And I'm reinforcing the guard. And what's he saying? He's saying it's time for everybody to step up. It's time for everybody to be on the front line of what I'm going to be doing. I've called every person here by name. That means I've called everybody to be a person of the Spirit. I've called everybody to be part of this army, part of this guard, part of this sharp arrow, part of holding this shield of faith up. I've called everyone, so it's not some are more important than others and some have got a better role than others. God say, no, everybody, reinforce the guard. It's time now. Part of that reinforcing of the guard is what God has been doing amongst us in these last 10, 11 days. In terms of this reviving work that he's been doing, this is part of reinforcing the guard. If you like, re-strengthening, reviving, and repurpose, getting us ready for what he wants to do. But he's basically saying, come on, everybody. It's everybody that's going to be involved. And more that aren't even here at this moment, that will get saved and added into what God is going to be doing. In this town, in Crawley, in Worthing, in where other towns that we live, and whatever God develops in these coming years, it's going to be a standing up of many, many people. But at this moment, he's saying, I'm reinforcing the guard. I'm getting things ready. One of the things that I felt, and we'll talk for a few minutes on this tonight, and I'll read out a few things that I believe God spoke to me specifically about over these last few months. I've kind of put together, and I'll read it at one point tonight, try and cobble all this stuff together in one thing so that it says it really clearly. But one of the things I believe God wants to encourage us with, particularly the blokes in the room, how important the men are going to be at the heart of what God is doing. And that as men that we really allow God to sharpen our lives and take the place that He's called us to be in the church as men. And that's part of that reinforcing the guard. We'll touch a bit more on that a bit later on. Let's have a look. What does it say next? Station the watchman. Now, watchmen, what did they do? Now, we obviously parallel that with people of prayer, and we'll come to that in a moment. But what did watchmen do? Watchmen stood on higher ground. Okay? Watchmen didn't just stand on city walls looking over. Watchmen were outside of the immediate kind of city wall. They stood on higher places of ground looking further afield to see were there any enemies that were trying to sneak up behind this hill or that hill or behind that bush, you know, coming along the valley or something. But, you know, were they... Sorry, that was a Monty Python moment. Obviously didn't get that. You know, you imagine a little army with their little trees trying to hide behind trees that are moving in the valley. I can see you. It's all right, you know. But see, watchmen would be on higher ground because they have a better vantage point. And so part of this sentence, station the watchman, it's like God saying, I've called you to be a people of my spirit, and a people of my spirit see things that people who are not living in the spirit don't see. A people of my spirit perceive things that people who are not living in the spirit don't perceive. A people of my spirit are sensitive to things that if you're not living in the spirit, you're not sensitive. And I used a phrase a few weeks ago that I heard somebody speak about, that God wants the church to hear the creak of the bow before an arrow is released and the sound goes and suddenly, oh, somebody's, hang on, we've missed it. God wants to hear the creak of the bow. He wants us to be sensitive to what's going on so that actually we can deal with it before anything of the enemy gets released. And so with that, and that's how we are as a people. God has called Kingdom Faith, as well as being an apostolic people, we're also a prophetic people. So that means there's something about the way we are that perceives and responds to what God is doing and saying. So we're ahead of the curve in that sense. That we're not waiting for the thing to dip and then, oh, hang on a minute, we've missed it. No, we want to be ahead of that curve, hearing God, responding to God and moving so that we're constantly moving and advancing in what God is saying and doing. So watchmen have a vantage point. They're looking down. And now also that parallels with people of prayer, people of intercession, being watchmen. And in these verses here, in this context of this chapter, one of the things I believe God is saying is that as part of what He's doing with us and what He's working in us at the moment, that He's called us to be people of intercession. Now, as much as that is prayer, it's also the way that we live our lives. Intercession is something that is between something, okay? So when we pray, if we're praying the will of God, what does 1 John 5 verse 14 and 15 said? That we know if we're praying what God wants, then He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have what we ask of Him. So we're interceding between God and what He wants and people's lives and what's going to happen. And so we're interceding. But how we live is part of that intercession. And how we live is actually... affects the effectiveness of the intercession. Now, that doesn't mean intercession becomes a work that is down to us. But you see, if we are this sharp arrow living clean and we're allowing God to work that process in us, then there's a greater effectiveness of the work of the Spirit in and through our lives. So that if one of those areas of moving in the Spirit as a people is being a people of prayer and the dynamic of intercession that we need to move in the Spirit in order to see the kind of breakthroughs in lives that we're talking about on a scale that we're talking about. See, God's talking more than just ones or twos. He's talking multiples of people. And God is, in these days, moving us from addition to multiplication. And so that there's a people of the Spirit that need to pray in the Spirit, or a people of intercession that not only in their lives have lost their soul and working that out, but also in the Spirit in terms of how they pray. There's such an effectiveness and a fervency of the Spirit in how the Holy Spirit is praying through those people that it produces that breakthrough in the Spirit, so that when we go, we see the things that have been released in the Spirit as we've been praying. And in order to pray like that, we have to surrender, submit ourselves. The flesh absolutely hates that kind of prayer. Hates it. But because God's making us a people of his spirit, your spirit's like, come on. I love that kind of engagement with the Holy Spirit. I love the way the Holy Spirit then wants to release or birth or unlock something in that way. And so it's saying here, station the watchman. And what is he saying? Right, hey guys, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're all standing up. Make sure you're all in the Spirit. Make sure you've got that vantage point in your life. That how you're seeing things is from the point of view of the Spirit, not the natural. The natural will always see, will look at the facts. And we'll try and weigh up the truth against the facts. But when you're a people of the Spirit, you hear God speak and faith releases something and you look at what God says and the facts are second. See, Abraham looked at his body. In the NIV, it actually said, Abraham faced the fact that his body was dead. And then it says, against all hope. It then says, in hope, he believed the promise of God. Because he believed that God had the power to fulfill what God had promised. And then it says, because God calls the things that are not as though they were. And so God encourages, hey guys, it's time to rise as that people of faith. It's time to see things in a different way. Because I'm going to... Not I, it's like God, because I'm going to say some things and show you some things that you're going to need to move in that are like, whoa, that has got to be God. Okay. You're right. Glad you came. Then it says here, prepare an ambush. Now that's something quite practical. Up to this moment, we're talking about a lot of spiritual dynamics and everything. But he says here, prepare an ambush. Now, God is speaking to us, and we're going to unpack a bit of this tonight rather than this morning. God is speaking to us about how, well, he's been speaking to me and some of the leaders, and we'll unpack it later tonight. But God is speaking to us in very practical ways as to how we're to move forward this year. So tonight's not just vision. Tonight, there's going to be quite a bit of strategy. How we're going to actually, and some steps, what are we going to do in these coming weeks and months? And how we're going to move practically in the rest of this year. And God's kind of putting feet on the vision tonight. But this is why the last 10 days have been so, so important. And how we're going to continue to move forward is going to be so important. From this Wednesday, from this Wednesday the 16th, every other Wednesday for five Wednesday nights. So we're going to have five Wednesday nights starting from this Wednesday, every other Wednesday. If you're with me there. We're not going to have life groups on those weeks and everything. We want to have some gatherings and gather together. Continue to flow in what God has been doing. And I'll explain later what the Wednesday nights are going to primarily be for. But it's continue that process that God has been doing, the worship, meeting God, encountering God. He's going to speak and bring the word in that context. We're going to be praying. But also it's going to be very focused in on the steps and how we're going to move forward as well. Because it's not just going to be a few people that are going to do some of what we're talking about tonight. It's going to involve every one of us. It's going to involve all of us to move forward in what God is saying. And God's going to grace us to do that. But prepare an ambush. So there's some practical things that God is giving us that as we go, they're going to be like ambushes for the enemy. It's going to define some things that people are going to get saved into and added into in that sense. But whenever God has plans and purposes, he knows how to thwart the enemy. He knows how to ambush the enemy. And God has got plans for that. And he's revealing some of those that we need to put in place as part of his plans to see that happen. Then what does God say in relation to all of that? The Lord will carry out his purpose, his decree against the people of Babylon. There is nothing that's going to stop God fulfilling his purpose. God's saying here, I'm going to fulfill my purpose. I'm going to carry out everything I purpose to do because I've decreed it against the enemy. I've decreed some things against the enemy, and so I've been working amongst you and doing stuff in you, getting you ready to work with me because I'm going to rout and defeat what he's been doing in people's lives. Then again, this is another thing that God is saying to the enemy. You who live by many waters and are rich in treasures, your end has come, the time for you to be cut off. There is injustice out there. There is guilt-ridden, shame-laden lives out there. There are people in addictions out there. There are people that feel like, I've just got to end it all, living in darkness. We know that. You know that. You know people like that. You work with some people who are like that. Some of us, you might live next door to people who are living in that kind of thing. And it's like God is saying to the enemy, it's time for you to be cut off from people's lives. Then what does he say? The Lord Almighty has sworn by himself. Because he knows the scale of what he wants to do, he can only swear by himself to fulfill it. Because he knows he can't rely on a man's word to do it. He's sworn by himself. This is my word and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to work in a people who are going to move with me to see it happen. And I believe this kind of stuff God is doing, not just here, Kingdom Faith, but he's speaking the same kind of things to other people, other churches around the country. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to say one thing to us and something completely different to people elsewhere. But we want to take hold of whatever or however God is expressing that to us and however God puts words to that for us. The Lord Almighty has sworn by himself. Listen to this. I love this. I will surely fill you with men as with a swarm of locusts. Wow. God is calling things that are not as though they were. If you look around at the moment, there's not a swarm of people at this moment. But God is speaking things that are not as though they were. The Lord Almighty has sworn by himself, I will surely fill you with men as with a swarm of locusts. I love that. Because God is speaking to us. But then it says, and they will shout in triumph over you. Now, who's speaking to who there? God is going to fill us with men, with people. People that are being set free. People that, whether it's, it doesn't matter what town it's going to be in, as we sort of move out from here, and whatever town it is, one church, many locations. It doesn't matter where the people are getting set free, getting added, and whatever congregation they're in around the 25-mile radius. But he's saying to the enemy, and they're going to shout triumph over you. And so God's going to take people from absolute despair, and their lives are going to be one that shouts triumph and victory over the enemy, saying, my life does not belong to you any longer. God has given me triumph. He has set me free. I'm a totally new person. That suicide thing that I was racked with, that shame that I was racked with, that guilt that I was ridden with, that addiction that controlled my life, everything that whatever, God's given me triumph over you, so I'm free from you now, and this is what I have now, and I'm moving in the things of God as a sharp arrow as part of what God is doing. And so this morning, for me sitting here, what I'm saying is as much declaring something over this 25-mile radius as it is speaking to all of us this morning. This is as much a declaration prophetically of what God is saying to us and how he wants to move with him and how God's going to rout the enemy in people's lives and communities. So that means the stakes are rising. Let's just use a football analogy at the moment. If you've got the Premiership, the Championship, the First Division and Second Division. If you're playing the Second Division, the stakes on one level maybe not as high. I mean, it might be in terms of your club needing to make enough money to survive for the next year. But what's involved in a Division 2 team and how to run that club and the pressure and everything that's involved in, you know, what they're going for is different than a Premier League team, the team that are right at the top going for the to become the champions of the country and to go into Europe and try and be the champions of Europe. And the stakes are much higher. And God wants us to understand the stakes are kind of raised for what he wants to do. On one level, I believe that God, if he hasn't already been doing this, that he wants to work this in you, a dissatisfaction for what you're seeing. So that you, we're dissatisfied with what we're seeing take place, even in our own lives. But that's why God's been working in us in these last 10 days. But also a dissatisfaction with what we're seeing. It's like, God, there's more than this. But that we don't rise up, you know, in our own efforts and say, well, let's try and do more. But actually, it's God's heart saying, no, no, guys, there is so much more than you've seen. That God's dissatisfied with what's going on. That's why he always is ready to work in a people, but he wants us to respond to him so that he can do that work in us so that we then see more take place and there's a greater release of what he wants to do. So there's a challenge for us, but the challenge is not to rise up in our own efforts to try and do this, but there's a challenge from God as we respond to him that we move more in the power of the Holy Spirit in everything that's currently going on. To see lives, and I'll read some of that again later on tonight that I've written down. Sharpen the arrows, take up the shields. The Lord has stirred up the kings of the Medes because his purpose is to destroy Babylon, all the works of the enemy. The Lord will take vengeance, vengeance for his temple, for his name's sake and for his glory. Lift up a banner, signal, give notice to the enemy, to the walls of Babylon. Reinforce the guard. It's a call to arms. It's time to rise, to stand. Station the watchman. Get everybody in place. Live as people of intercession as well as pray. The Lord will prepare an ambush. Get everything ready to advance and to go. The Lord will carry out his purpose, his decree against the people of Babylon. You who live by many waters, this is God telling the enemy, you're stuffed, mate. You are rich in treasure. Your end has come. The time for you to be cut off. So God's saying, you know, here's the signal, sunshine, because your time is finished with. The Lord Almighty has sworn by himself, I will surely fill you with men as with a swarm of locusts. Can you see that? That's thousands and thousands and thousands. And they will shout in triumph. Over you, over the enemy. Because he's speaking to the enemy there. Now, as God's been working amongst us, there's a greater release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Now, we heard several points during the week in different meetings, I think sometimes in the evening and other points, other meetings that we had. God doesn't anoint what we do, as in things. He doesn't anoint an event. He doesn't anoint a meeting. He anoints people. And as we allow God to work in us and as he refines and revives us, then there's a greater release or flow of the anointing on our lives and through our lives, so that then what he calls us to be doing, there's a greater release of anointing in what is happening. The Bible talks about it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of the oppressor, of the enemy, or oppression, or whatever's attacking. It's the anointing. So everything we do, we're not just talking about ministry here, but the way we live, everything, even in the workplace, the way we are, how we are, the way we are. God wants everything to be flowing out of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. And where God has placed you in your life in this season, God anoints you for that place where he's placed you. So whatever work environment, whatever place you're working in, whatever business or company or situation, God has anointed you to be in that place at this time. And whatever's happening in you will affect the people that are around you. And as we allow God to work in us and deal with us, there's a greater release of the anointed, of the Holy Spirit, in those situations to see things happen. And the same, everything we're doing as a church, what we're doing in the building during the week, reaching the community, things we do outside, what's going on in Crawley, what's happening in other ways, in other towns, through life groups and other ministries, and what will be developing more. The degree of what we see happen is down to the degree of the anointing that is at work in our lives. So, yes, we're all anointed. But how much of that anointing flows and the effectiveness of that anointing is in one sense determined by how much we've responded to God, submitted to God, or allow God to deal with us, or the dealings of God in our life, if you like, the losing our soul and how much we live in the Spirit. Now, you can say, well, I know people that aren't exactly living holy and they're seeing some great things happen. Yeah, but God will pull them up short at some point. God's gracious and he'll always give a bit of time because the anointing will flow. But the sort of stuff we're talking about and the scale of what we're talking about and God's talking about, that we can't have mixture in our lives saying, well, I'll live at the level I want, but come on, God, do your bit then. Come on. You know, I'm kind of, you know, and God's saying that, well, you've reached that level already. I can't do any more. Or, no, it's not I can't. I won't do any more. That's a better phrase. I won't do any more. Because the level of where you're at with me, that's the level of what you're seeing. So I'm not going to do any more. So as I mean, this is generally how he works with Christians, you know. And if we just stay at a certain level after a while, it's like it goes that way. Because if you're not advancing, you're actually going to go backwards. Because God's always on the move. We don't keep up with him, we get left behind. So this isn't saying it's down to us. This has got to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And the magnitude of what God wants to do has got to be him. But he wants to work through people just like you and me. We're everyday people that have got God in their lives. And who want to live fully submitted to him so that he can do what he wants to do. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to take a few minutes just to pray. There are one or two other things, obviously, like communicate some highlights and the offering and stuff in a few minutes. But this is part one. Tonight will be probably a lot more practical than this in terms of how we're going to outwork things. But you know, when you join an army, you don't know exactly what you're signing up for, do you? You know it's going to involve getting fit. It's going to be challenging. You're going to go out to the battlefield. You're going to see some things happen. But you don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But you sign up anyway. And it's only once you signed up and you start getting trained and things that then say, right, you know, your squadron or whatever, you're going to go there. You're going to do this. You're going to that country. You're going to do. And you're like, oh, right, okay. But you can't stand there and say to the guy in charge, well, I didn't sign up for that. I signed up to stay in the barracks, stay on the parade ground and just shine my rifle all the time so it looks really cool. I don't want to get my boots dirty because I've just managed to see my face in it and I don't want to get a bit of mud on them and everything. And God's saying those times are finished with. And God's saying, join me in the adventure that I've got ahead. Because we're going to see a lot of victories. There's going to be a lot of the enemy routed in people's lives. Because if God's going before us, man, it's only going to mean victory. There'll be some skirmishes, some challenges on the way, and all of that. Because the devil's around. He's involved in people's lives. He doesn't give up lightly. But if we're moving in the Spirit and the power of God in the way that God is calling us to be, then it's like there's this sharp arrow. We're going to see breakthroughs and breakthroughs and breakthroughs. Things that have taken, that would maybe take a long time in people's lives are going to just be broken. See, we're talking about being a kingdom people. What I've got to finish, otherwise we're going to keep going. Jesus, he came out of heaven to earth, right? He came to establish the kingdom on earth. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is not over there or over here. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So he had the kingdom of heaven. Wherever Jesus went, what happened? The kingdom of God erupted, but also the kingdom of darkness erupted. When Jesus went, people just started manifesting. If the enemy had control of people's lives, people were manifesting stuff in their lives when Jesus was around. And in one sense, what we're talking about is the kind of stuff God's doing in us and working amongst us, that when we go, as well as the kingdom of God being revealed, the kingdom of darkness also is going to, it has to respond. It will not be able to stay silent because the kingdom of God is there to such a degree that the enemy has to respond because he cannot stay quiet to expose him to then deal with him. Amen. And that's what was happening around Jesus. The enemy couldn't keep, it's like, this authority is greater than ours. Ah! That's what happened. And then Jesus said, shut up, get lost, get out. And that person was set free. So we're not talking about having battles in our own strength where suddenly, oh, I don't know how to do that. And, oh, that means, you know, no, it means going in the power of the Holy Spirit. Seeing lives transformed. And every one of us in the room, however long you've been saved, whether a few weeks or many years, you got the same Holy Spirit in you as Jesus had. So this isn't for the more experienced, mature believers, but this is for every one of us that we're talking about. Pastor Colin said something to me just before the beginning of the meeting that God had spoken to him, saying that God has... Or do you want to just quickly say it? God has anointed men to reach men, husbands to reach husbands. Right. Anointed husbands will reach husbands. Anointed wives will reach wives. Anointed young people will reach young people. Anointed children will reach children. You know? And everybody's anointed in the room. But again, the degree of that gets released is in cooperation with how we're responding to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you ready? Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. If we just have the band up ready, that would be great. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands for a minute. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just thank the Lord for what he's been doing in your life over the last 10 days. God works a process in us. And part of that process will always be challenging. And God will always make sure that whatever process he takes us through, he will make sure that it always challenges us. Because if there's no price to, as in, he's paid the price for our salvation. But you know, easy come, easy go. Now, we live by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that enables us to live out the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Or the Spirit of grace enables us to live in that way. But you know, sometimes when God works amongst us, it's like, it's not easy sometimes. And you respond to God, it challenges the flesh. But you know, when God's worked through a process, it becomes valuable. What he's done in you becomes, it's like, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to shrink back. I don't want to step back. I don't want to lose ground. Because God, you've brought me into a new place with you. God, it's like I'm living clean before you in a way that I haven't before. I'm much more aware of kind of stuff that's not of you. I'm much more aware of the spirit of the world or the spirit of the age. I'm much more aware of just that conversation or the tone of that kind of expression. I'm much more, because you've become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, more aware of the Holy Spirit in you already, but you've become more sensitive to him leading you, guiding you, and in your life. And so when God works a process, it's like, man, I don't want to just have 10 days of getting before God and coming up like that and then thinking, well, that's cool, what's he going to do next, and wait for the next thing. But actually, no, God, I want to guard that. I want to cultivate that. I want to continue to move forward in you and what you're doing in me. And what that does as he works in us, it helps us to live in the place where it says, God, I'm available. I'm available for what you want to do in my life or through my life. And so part of that losing our souls is so that we're totally available That the flesh, if you like, doesn't have a grip in some way. The soul and the body working independently from the spirit. That's the flesh. But then even that we're not just living out of our own souls, out of our own thinking, our own emotions and desires. And every now and then asking the Holy Spirit to help us because we're in a situation where we need him. It's like, no, I want to live a totally submitted, surrendered life to you, Holy Spirit. So that no matter what I'm doing, everything flows from the life of who you are in me. And so that it's the spirit and the nature of Christ that is then working through my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here this morning. I thank you that you've led us to this point. I just believe God wants us to simply respond to him this morning with a simple phrase. Yes, Jesus, count me in. I believe that is the response this morning. But before you say it, yes, Jesus, count me in. And I believe that's the phrase that God's putting before us in terms of our response. I don't know what it's going to fully mean in terms of how it's all worked out. I don't think any of us do. But that's the response that God is asking of us this morning. It's going to mean laying our lives down more than we ever have before. It's going to mean opening our homes more to each other and other people than we ever have before. It might mean sowing more time and finances into the life of the church. It might mean opening your home more. It might mean that you have to do a bit more with your finances to bless people, or I don't know, but there are practical ramifications. It means new friendships and relationships developing in and around our lives. People getting saved. People that you and I need to disciple. People that we're going to have to open our lives to. Because some people in the room, you know, there's some awesome people in this room who have been saved for many years. And you've got loads to put into people that God has done in your life. And at this moment, you're saying, well, I'm not discipling anybody or investing into somebody's life. Man, if God's going to fill us with men like a swarm of locusts, whether here or Crawley or wherever, man, we've got to be available and ready. So you ready?
Yes.
So you, rather than us all saying, yes, Jesus, count me in, you know, together as a thing, firstly, just you respond to the Lord, but don't do it in your head. If you're saying, yes, Jesus, count me in, I want you just to talk to him right now and tell him that and respond to him this morning. No matter what it means, however you want to work in my life, use me, Jesus, work through my life. Yes, Jesus, count me in. Yes, Jesus, count my family in, my household. Because I've had to do this for my family. I said, yes, Jesus, count me and my wife in. And my whole family, count us in. There's no other life we can live. This is the only life that there is, the life that you've called us to. And what I mean by that is not just because I'm the pastor and that's the kind of life you've got to live anyway, Clive. It's tough luck, mate, whether you want it or not. In my response, just in terms of to God, Father, as a family, however you want to lead us forward, whatever you've called us to be part of, count me in, count us in. So if you're a husband and wife, can you say that for your family? Your single parent, can you say that for your family? Count us in, Father. Because we know ultimately your plans are good plans. They're plans to prosper. They're for our good. They're plans to bless. God always will lead us forward to flourish and thrive. There can be challenges on the way. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, you see around this room, you see our hearts and our lives. You see what we're up for, what we're available for. So, Father, for me personally, I just say, yes, Jesus, count me in. Yes, Jesus, count me and my wife and my family in to whatever you want to do, however you want to lead us forward. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just raise our hands, shall we? Now, let's all just say that together. If you want to say it, if you don't, then don't say it. But if you do, then say it. Yes, Jesus, count me in. Father, we just want to say as a church to you, yes, count us in terms of your purposes and however you want to outwork things in this town, in Crawley, in the other towns in this 25-mile radius and all the things we're going to be talking about tonight. Father, I thank you that you would find us a people that are willing, available in your day of power, in your day of battle. You would find us willing, robed in majesty, a people that are standing ready to respond to the call, ready to respond to whatever you're saying.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.